With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, it's a special treat this week, Ruth. I'm not going to say this is where we test the levels, but I am secretly testing the levels. A couple of more one-line jokes. Do you want a couple of one-line jokes?
Yeah, you know Jeremy Lang from Made in Chelsea?
Jeremy Lang from Made in Chelsea, yeah.
He does his Private Parts podcast.
Does he?
Well, yeah, with Francis Boulay.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a bit at the beginning that isn't, like, part of the podcast. So they'll just be chatting away, blah, 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 and then they play like a little tune thingy and then he'll say, "Hello, welcome to
the podcast."
Yeah, the podcast. I'm Jamie Lang and this is blah, blah, blah. That's what how we need to be.
Oh, do you want to do it like that?
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm
Jamie Lang. That's funny.
We got an email. Let me tell you about
emails
this.
Emails at the beginning?
Well, I'll tell you why it is.
Dad, I can't cope.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about crisps at the start, and Barney Edis has written, because it relates to what we did at the start a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
Barney Edis says, "Dear Ruth and Martin, love listening to your podcast. Just wanted to comment on the crisp situation. Best flavour, salt and vinegar crisps," which is what you said, but he said the best flavour salt and vinegar are the Co-op own brand.
Never tried them?
No, it's got to be the big bag. Please see link below. And exactly,
he sent
me a link to Co-op irresistible hand-cooked sea salt and Chardonnay wine vinegar
crisps.
That
sounds like the Tesco finest.
Yeah, it is one of those things.
Sainsbury's Taste the Difference.
But he says, now this is the bit where I have to take issue with him, because he says they're so salty and vinegary they make your mouth tingle. Try them if you dare.
Now, That's perfect.
No, it's not. You see, I don't
exactly
like...
exactly what you like.
I don't like my mouth to tingle.
I like the vinegar to be so strong it feels like it's burning.
Right. Well, you're obviously... We'll try a packet of these next time we're in the Co-op, which I don't
know. We don't go to the Co-op.
We don't go to the Co-op. No, we don't. The Co-op is a better shop than it used to be, but it's still not...
It's expensive, though, the Co-op.
Yeah, it's still...
It's almost Waitrose prices, I think.
Yeah,
I don't base that on any actual knowledge.
No, I think it is about right, yeah.
We never go there, I don't think.
No, there's no reason we would go there.
It's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there.
It's not like Marks and Spencer's. If you were really being like, right, we're going all out, we're getting Marks and Spencer's crisps or whatever. You know what I mean?
Is that your definition of luxury, we're getting Marks
Yeah, well, Marks and Spencer's is like proper luxury. You know, if you want it, you're having a party or something, maybe get Marks and Spencer's. And if you're having your normal shop, Asda, Sainsbury's, Lidl and Aldi, those places, Co-ops... You wouldn't do your shop there, but
no.
I wouldn't be like, oh, we'll go all out, we'll go to Co-op.
You wouldn't. You see, Co-op.
That's not what you
used
do,
to
is
have,
it?
Go, I mean, still has a purpose. When you look at the adverts at the cinema for the Co-op, they plug all the good works that they do. That's the big thing at the Co-op. It's what we do, they say. And I hate ads that end, it's what
no,
we
they're,
do.
No, they're, but their slogan is good. With food.
Ah, that's gone.
Trying to make good rhyme with food.
Yeah, no, they're not doing that one anymore.
Fit.
But at the moment, what the Co-op are doing is they're saying, oh, you know, we run these youth centres and we contribute money to these youth centres and all that. But it's not, and in the past it was supposed to...
That was what they set up for, wasn't it?
It was a cooperative.
Because I remember in year 9 or something when we had chemistry lessons, they used to teach us something about... neutrons and protons and electrons that covalent bonding, which is where atoms share electrons. Mm. Oh my gosh, I can actually remember it. And so it was called covalent bonding. And so first he would be like, so the co-op, and then he would talk about how the co-op would share things, and then be like, this is what covalent bonding is, to make you remember it.
Well, when the cooperative society first started, it was a sort of socialist organisation, and you were a customer and you shared in it and everything, and you had a dividend number. Yeah. I can still remember the number because as a kid we shopped.
Oh, did you have one?
17684 was our number.
And that's also his banking details.
So the co-op shared by giving a dividend to customers every time you shopped there. They shared with you, but it just became a pretty rubbish shop.
Yeah.
And I know whenever there was an argument between, and I'm thinking back to the 70s now, but there's an argument between the socialists and the capitalists. People used to say, ah, yes, the thing about the socialists is they want to bring Marks and Spencers up to the standard of the co-op. Vinegary, I don't like the intense taste of vinegar in crisps, so not for me, I say. But
there
thank
you go.
You.
That's the scoop.
That's the scoop. Thank you very much indeed, Barney Edis, for your crisp feedback. If you do want to feedback with us or anything, we'll give you the email address a little bit later on. Love Island is apparently hotting up. Couples are coupling. And
it's hotting up.
Is haunting. Well, tell me what's going on.
So,
because there were people on the bus talking about Love Island. Today.
There were people in the There were people are coupled up. It's all good, well and good. The night before last, Uanda left.
Sorry for keeping you up.
Who left? Uanda.
Ah, yes, she's the dark-skinned black woman who's not got.
Did you say black?
No, yeah, dark-skinned black as opposed to mixed race or light-skinned. And I'm only saying that because all the pieces you read in the Guardian says dark-skinned black woman.
Yeah, it is important that she's
dark. So don't have a go at me.
Well, it's just funny because you wouldn't normally say that, that's all.
I mean, apparently that is politically what you're supposed to say.
Well, no, I think it's just politically what you're supposed to say because it's important that she's dark-skinned, not light-skinned.
Why is she gone anyway?
She's gone because this girl called Arabella came in. Very funny on Twitter. People have taken to calling because people don't like her because she's stolen Danny from Uwande, and now Uwande's had to go home because Danny chose Arabella. But people have taken to calling her whatever name on Twitter, so like Avocado, Arancini, Arabella, just like two separate words. What else? Ariola.
Wasn't that a bit rude?
Antita, Anagnorisis, like just all sorts of stuff.
Isn't that a bit rude?
No, I don't think so. I think it's funny. Why is it not funny?
Well, just saying someone's name and calling them rude stuff.
Well, no, because her name is Arabella. Don't call your kid Arabella, then.
Why? What's wrong with Arabella?
It's just a bit froofy, isn't it?
Froofy?
Yeah.
Froofy. So, anyway...
Also, she's a supermodel, Dad. Like, I think she can be taking the piss out of a little bit.
So, let me just quote you some of this Guardian. Curtis and Amy, they say they're going to triumph. They're going to be the winners.
No. Disagree. Okay. They're wrong there because... People really don't like Amy and people find Curtis a bit boring. Mm. Michael and Amber are going to win.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Michael and Amber. Can you put money on this?
I assume so.
I think I backed something that you suggested last year and it didn't do any good. Maura, tell me about Maura. This is just the one bit of Love Island that I've seen and she struck me as extremely unpleasant.
No, she's great, is Maura.
She was swearing,
because someone was really rude to her.
Yeah, but I mean, she went well over the top, the bit that I saw. This is the Irish one, isn't it?
Yeah, but she is quite loud and brash and stuff, but I quite like her, you know.
What makes you like her?
She's good TV.
Yeah, right.
And also, something really. This boy did say something really rude and disrespectful to her, and sometimes the girls will just kind of take it, whereas she was very much like, no, I'm standing up for myself, this is not right and stuff, which I enjoy.
Mm, but she did go over the top.
I wouldn't be good friends with her.
No, you wouldn't want to in a million years. And it's continuing to maintain its entertainment factor?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I was asking you earlier on, and you're familiar with the case, about Jihadi Jack.
Yeah.
And what interests me about this is the parenting. This is not the fact... The court case itself is all about them sending money to Jihadi Jack, ostensibly so he could get back home.
Mm.
But as far as the court case goes...
It's also to help... He said that it was to help his friend who'd had a kid or something... was for that as well.
Right. So, but quite apart from the fact that the court case is about, is accusing them of sending the money aiding terrorism, because they're sending the money to a member of ISIS, which obviously their son is now, as he's, Jack Letts is his name, but he is now thought jihadi.
I don't like calling him Jihadi Jack.
Right,
I think
Jack
it's,
Letts, all right.
I don't think it's right to the parents, though. Like, you wouldn't want it if someone started calling your kid Jihadi Jack.
Well, I wouldn't like my kid to, for a start, his name's not Jack, but I wouldn't like him to join the jihad.
No, of course you wouldn't, but, like, you know, you can be radicalised, and I think it's a real, like, it's a real thing. It's not the, I think everyone's being like, oh, God, you know, the parents must be awful and stuff, and they don't seem it. Like, it's just, it's a really, really sad thing. I don't think people are being very sympathetic to the parents by calling him, nicknaming him Jihadi Jack. I just think it's cruel.
Well, let me give you my take on this, and that is that I feel very sorry for the parents, and you read everything you read in the papers. You've got to have sympathy with the parents on some level, I would have said. But I think, in a way, they've brought it on themselves by very indulgent parenting. For instance, you know, when he decided he was going to become a Muslim, and when he decided he was going to become a very strict Muslim and a radical Muslim, you know, they would drive him to the mosque.
Yeah, but, like, what are you meant to do?
I think there comes a point as a parent where you have to actually say, no, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this.
But if you fear that you're going to lose your kid, like, also, you, I feel like if I was to join ISIS or something, you would send money to me. I'm pretty sure you would. If I said, if you thought your kid was really, truly in need, and I, and also he was saying, oh my gosh, he was saying, I regret joining, what have I done and stuff. If you felt that, I don't have a doubt in my mind that you wouldn't send me money.
Well, it's touching.
No, but I think you would, though, because it's that kind of unconditional love that makes you do.
Yes.
Silly things.
Well, you're absolutely right. We probably would.
I'm not saying it's
however,
right either.
But what I'm saying is,
this is a shame.
I think it's the parenting. You know, they're very right on, these parents.
Yeah, but wouldn't you support, you know, if your kid really wanted to do this, it's either help them to do it or risk them moving out, and then you don't have an eye on them either. You know, if you're not going to support it, where are they going to go? I think it's a very difficult situation, and I can see why they did what they did, and I wouldn't call it even particularly indulgent.
Well, I think it's indulgent because I think if you were any, and I'm not just talking about Islam, I'm talking about any religion. I think if you became what I like to call a religious nut, you know, an evangelist, or, you know, if you started, I would at least try to argue against it rather than encourage
you. But you don't know whether they've done that. You don't know whether they've said,
from what
you've the parents might have said, oh, I really don't think you should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I'm doing it whether you help me or not. So it's either help me or don't. Do you know, that's,
I think,
how do we know that he's not he's not said that to them?
No, we don't. Yes, that's fair enough. But I think one of the problems is that parents want to be chums with their kids,
right.
You know, and you see these things on Facebook, like they've gone out somewhere, say a mother and a teenage daughter have gone out clubbing, and they always put it on Facebook as if it was a good thing. That, you know, I think you need to have that
parental authority.
I can't remember
who it was who was describing it as, like, something about relationships that was like horizontal versus like vertical relationships or whatever.
That
was like your friends serve one purpose and that's like a vertical friendship or something, then your parents are the other, which is like a horizontal one, and the two shouldn't ever, they should never meet and stuff, and they should never intermingle, apart from siblings. That's the only time when the two are sort of really
siblings,
blurred.
But
you shouldn't try to be friends with your children.
Yeah, there's got to be a point. Well, that's why we're working out very well not being friends. But there's got to be a point where you're an authority figure rather than a friend figure. And I think that's where
But again, though, you just don't know how they were speaking to him behind closed doors, and you'll never. Like, no,
no, you never know. For sure. No, of course you
don't. But I'm just saying that, like, it's extremely possible that they've attempted to say, you know, the problem is, I don't understand it either, but I don't think people truly understand radicalisation. I think that's the major thing. And you saw it with the Shamima
Begum.
I didn't know how to say it. Shamima Begum case, where people were like, you could see this video and she came back to the UK and everyone was like, God, she's not even repentant. And it's like, no, she's been radicalised. Like, that's what it is.
It's
brainwashing. You're not the same person as you once were. You know, he's not, when he's been radicalised, he's not Jack Letts anymore. He's
Jihadi Jack.
Well, yeah, true. But like, he is this version of himself that's not the person that they've raised. And I just don't think people truly understand that if someone's been radicalised and brainwashed, the way that he will have been, saying to him, no, you're not allowed to, it's not really going to do anything.
No. And Islam, we have to say, is a very authoritarian religion.
Well, yeah, you say it. But I mean, but that's just how people are with Islam. So is Christianity, if you look. I mean, they've got the same roots, really.
They've got the same roots, but I think they've got off in different directions.
Yeah, you know, true.
Turn the other cheek, which is the Christian philosophy, allegedly. You don't get a lot of turn the other cheek in Islam.
Yeah, but if you were to follow the Bible or the Torah absolutely word for word, it would result in the same things that... I mean, it has resulted in the same things that...
Reading the piece, I say, quite a sympathetic piece in the Sunday Times about the parents.
It's so sad. Honestly, it makes me cry.
It's very, very sad. I just feel, from reading a bit of this, the father might have just been too much of an old hippie. It says, Jack's father picked up his guitar and played me a song that had struck him as relevant to the case. It was The Universal Soldier by the folk song Donovan. Now, I know the song The Universal Soldier by Donovan. And Donovan, I always thought, was a very underpowered Bob Dylan. He was described for a while as the British Bob Dylan. And it's a fairly wet, you know, what is wrong? That's a fairly wet song to be singing. It's a song about someone who thinks they're fighting in the name of peace, not realising, as Donovan put it, this is not the way we put an end to war. Get it? I mean, I might have got the father completely wrong.
How do you be a good parent in that situation? Like, no one knows.
You had something which I found quite interesting. You were telling me the other day about Monopoly.
Yeah, they've launching at the moment a digital edition, introducing kids to a cashless society. So it's it has like a bit in the middle where you can do voice banking, and there would need to be no banker. It would just record all of it in the centre of the thing. And personally, I wouldn't want anyone recording games of Monopoly. I have in my house. It gets vicious. denounced people from the family when we were playing it. But, yeah, so it would have this thing in the middle.
There's no £500 notes anymore?
No notes at all. And no banker. So there'd be no one, you know, being like, oh, you are £220 here, have 7 change or whatever. There'd be none of that. It would just all be completely cashless.
Oh, that's taking all the fun away.
I mean, he was sad when we were talking about the Jack Letts story, but you should have seen Dad's face drop.
Cashless Monopoly, I don't like it at all.
Because it's talking about this, like, cashless society, and whether it's, like, Monopoly being, like, this is a reflection of the society we actually live in, like,
but there's
bringing 21st century.
You don't have a card or anything. It's all done by voices.
No. You'd have cards for the properties,
yes,
I'm pretty
but
sure.
What I mean is, do you have a bank card that you would take?
I don't know whether you even have a bank card.
Yeah. That's a shame. Because a bank card that you could tap, it would make sort of sense.
Do you have a bank card that you can tap? Because there is a version of Monopoly where you have a card, but this is completely...
This is totally digital. Do you have dice?
Yeah, you have dice, you have little houses, you
have
little...
Do you have a little iron and a little dog?
There's a little iron... I think there's a dinosaur, you know? I'm looking at pictures of it. I'm pretty sure there's a dinosaur. You know what, though? The problem is, I was on the...
The problem is, the game of Monopoly isn't much fun. The most fun in Monopoly is getting the notes and changing them.
The game of Monopoly is great fun. Let's not...
No, it's not.
It is.
How many times do we
it's
ever...
It's so good.
How many times do we ever finish a game of Monopoly?
It's not about the destination, Dad. It's about the journey.
Ah, right.
No, but anyway, but it leads me on to saying about cashless society. Basically, we use cash for 3 out of 10 transactions, compared with 6 10 years ago. And then in 15 years' time, this is predicted to fall to only 1 in 10 transactions being with cash.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I never carry cash. You asked for cash this morning.
We were getting on the bus, and I never, ever carry cash. And if I need cash, I'll be like, Dad.
See, it's changed
my... Don't have, don't have anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I walk around London a lot. When I'm in London at the weekend, yeah. I sort of walk most places. And I had a tramp pocket, which was my money for tramps.
Dad, you shouldn't say tramp.
What do we say?
Oh, just homeless people.
Oh, not hobos.
No, not hobos or tramps.
Anyway, so I had this pocket for money where the urge took me to give to somebody who was sitting on the sidewalk, possibly a homeless person, possibly just a beggar. But
a homeless person, or what's the other word? If you have a home. No, but if you have a home, but you're still in a position where you need to beg. I'm not sure what that word is. But
confidence trickster?
No, that's not. Oh, I hate that. There's a bit in a film called WTF. It's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. It's that film with Tina Fey, which is, I would actually say, massively underrated. And they're walking through this marketplace, and it's got not Simon Pegg, the guy who looks like Simon Pegg.
Oh, for goodness sake, Ruth.
Oh, no, what's his name?
This is the way old people speak, you know, that guy was in that thing years ago on the TV.
Anyway.
You don't expect a, you know, vibrant teenager.
But I always forget his name. He looks like exactly like. Can I Google him? Because it annoys me. Martin Freeman.
Oh, if you've just said the guy from The Office, I'd have known it.
From The Hobbit.
Well, there's the guy from The Hobbit, the guy from The Office.
Sherlock Holmes.
The guy from Love Actually.
Love Actually, yeah.
A very famous scene right near the start of Love Actually. Right.
Anyway, so they're in this marketplace and Martin Freeman gives some money to this boy and Tina Fey's character is like, oh, you know, it's a big scam. He says, well, he's still begging in the street. And I think that's such a good... It's always in the back of my head.
Is it?
I think that's such a good lie, because it's so true.
Well, the American comedian Kathleen Madigan said, I was walking with my friend and I saw somebody begging and I gave them $1 or $2 and the friend says, you know, he'll only spend it on booze and drugs. And she says, yeah, like I wasn't.
Yeah, that's good, that.
It is good.
But is the board game jumping the gun a bit? Do you think we're moving to this cashless society? And also, is that really a good thing? Because there was a...
Well, to finish my point about the tramp pocket...
Oh, gosh, I forgot. Sorry, I forgot that was what we were on.
To finish my point about the tramp pocket, I used to carry cash in one pocket, and then, for some unknown reason, I had no cash. And when I came across a particularly... especially sometimes if you're sitting outside in a cafe in London, you do get approached a lot in London. And I was having to explain to people that I've got no cash. And there was this guy, I was sitting... It was near Russell Square, anyway, in London. And I was sitting there outside Pret a Manger with my filter coffee. And the guy came and he wouldn't accept that I had no cash. And I was just trying to... But what I found now is that buskers have now got a little thing attached to their guitar.
Dad, we're on the same wavelength.
Where
I'm getting
you can
onto
tap
that.
It to contribute £2, tap your card. But I'm a little bit reluctant to just be tapping my card because you can't. The guy's in the middle of, you know, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London or whatever he's singing an Ed Sheeran song.
And what was that?
That was the song buskers always used to sing. They used to let me take you by
literally
the
never
hand.
Heard it.
No, well, I would sing it for you if you don't like me singing.
No, I hate it.
But they're in the middle of whatever Ed Sheeran song they're actually singing at the time, and you tap the thing and you ask them, can I have a receipt, please? It's not going to work, is it?
No, right. So this is what I was getting onto. So this sort of thing, so some big issue, this is what the article says, so some big issue sellers take cards, while a new app called Giving Streets will soon allow you to donate to homeless people using your mobile phone. Buskers in London and street performers in Edinburgh use contactless payment points for tips. Galleries and museums do the same for donations and so do churches. So just basically...
We're almost there.
Yeah, you can't, in London, you can't even pay for a bus ticket with cash.
No, it's a bit
like
ages,
for ages. No. At the moment, we've just brought in contactless payments, but eventually, I'm sure, you know, the North is always a bit behind London, but I'm sure we'll get there. But then it's convenient for a lot of people, but they say that someone will be excluded. So there was a study in sometime. It was called the Access to Cash Review, and it highlighted that 17% of the population would struggle to cope with a cashless society. And the poorer you are, the more likely you are to use cash. Some people don't have bank accounts or the documentation that would allow them to open one, and many don't have reliable and regular digital access. So it's just opening this thing of, like, is it really that great idea to go cashless? And it also, as soon as, not to bring in The Handmaid's Tale, but
well, I'll bring the Beatles in later on.
I talk about The Handmaid's Tale more than you talk about the Beatles. It's embarrassing. I need to read more books. So in The Handmaid's Tale, one of the first things and the best ways to was to oppress the women and stuff was that they'd already gone cashless. Everyone was paying for stuff on cards, and they just blocked all cards that had an F instead of an M.
A female.
Yeah. So, you know, if they wanted to do if they wanted to stop all Muslim people from buying plane tickets or train tickets, that would be a massively easy way to do that, because they know what religion you are. Like, I think it's really scary. And then it also goes on to talk about, as we go cashless, it's scary. You know, Facebook are going to try and move into the financial services and stuff. Mm. And that's scary, because then that's also, they have all your data. Do you know what I mean? If you're saying what all your likes and your dislikes are, who all your family are, who all of your friends are, all of that stuff. And then also they have all your bank details. You don't want anyone to have that much information about you.
Because we've just moved at Talk Radio, we've moved into the building with the Sunday Times and the Sun and the Times Literary Supplement, all those people. So we're in this big, the news building, it's called, which sounds to me like the Ministry of Truth, really. But anyway, we're in the news building now. And there's a canteen in there. And so I went in the canteen, and I just took like a fiver out of my pocket to pay for the no cash allowed at all. So I said, well, how do I pay? So I took my card to pay. No cards. You have to get a News UK card, which is it's your pass to go in the building.
Yeah.
So I've got one of those. And then somebody had to show me how to load up money. They can't do it at the thing. You have to go to a special machine and it loads up money onto your card. So I've got £25 on my News UK pass, which means that, you know, in theory, Rupert Murdoch, who's the head of News UK, will know everything I'm eating. So, because it's on your card, what you eat. It's part of the same thing, isn't it?
It's part of the same thing of just having, the more and more, everyone knows everything about everything, you all of the time. And, like, those things about the, you know, the DNA stuff, you and me, or Ancestry, those things, 24 and me, or something like that, where you give them your DNA. I think it's Google now owns one of those. Google own part of Facebook, probably. I don't know. But they all own each other.
Yeah, Google own YouTube.
Google own YouTube. So now Google will know my age, my date of birth, sex, everything I've ever
your
watched.
Friends, what I watch. Adverts you've responded
what
to.
What adverts, what I've clicked on, what products I've bought, if I've bought them through links on YouTube. And then they would also have my DNA. That is terrifying. Like, how can that not be massively, massively scary? And then if we go completely cashless, there's no way to escape it. Like, to live in our society, you have to be open with having no privacy, really.
Should we do the rest of the emails?
Yes.
Okay. David Ailes is a big fan. He says, love the podcast. And he sent us a picture. He says, attached is a photo of me visiting one of the holiest Muslim sites at Karbala in Iraq. Just sharing. He said, I was the only white face, or Khawaja, as they call us there. Entry, strictly Muslim only, which I'm not. He says, however, I was made most welcome. So
how is that? Is Iraq one of those places where you're only allowed guided visits? You know where someone picks you up from the airport?
Because might be.
What is the place?
North
that's
Korea.
Like that?
North Korea.
North really. Korea is famously, but there's also places in the Middle East that are like that as well.
Might be Iraq, I don't know.
I feel like it's a stan. It's an Uzbekistan, I wonder.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right, I thought it's more like to be Iran, where they're much more militant. This is Simon Cooper, who says that he was listening to the podcast. And he was remembering being a young boy in Leeds who was forced to do his homework from 7 till 9 every night. And he was delighted when a new station came on air. And what he's talking about is Radio Air, which started in 1981. Oh. And he used to listen to me on Radio Air.
That's nice.
Yes, and in those days he thought I was funny. Well, so you can lose these things.
How the times have changed.
How times have changed. He says that hoping the podcasts continue when university calls. Well, I'm sure we'll, you know, on some basis, we'll do some podcasts. I'm positive of it. We'll take a short break and then we'll play some music.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, let's start with yours this week. What have we got?
Oh, with me?
Yes.
Mine is a song called Feel Something by B. Miller.
So that I can really feel like a person again. I just wanna feel something, I just wanna feel. I just wanna feel something, I just wanna feel. Something really real so that I can really feel like a person again. If I am telling the truth.
So, tell me about... I enjoyed that. Tell me about...
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I liked
it. I think that's another one of those ones where you need to listen to the whole song.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to just that bit, it sounds very like, wow, this just sounds like every other pop song. But it's quite... It's a lot nicer when you listen to
the whole thing. The bit we listened to was the hook, but
yeah.
it is a nice song.
And there's a lot of cool, like, little bits in it, you know, where you can hear the coin, like, flicking and stuff. It's just cool.
It's good. So tell me about B. Miller.
Yeah, so she is an American songwriter. She's... This will make you feel old. She was born in 1999.
Wow. Were people still being born in 1999?
Yeah, so she's 20 now, but only just 20, because she was born in February. So that's, I mean, that's not much older than me, but when she was 13...
Get a move on. I know.
I've not got any hit singles yet.
It's outrageous. Go on.
When she was 13 years old, she came ninth place on season 2 of the US version of X Factor. But I'd never really heard of her much. And then... This is why I thought, I'll play some B. Miller. This is her new song, that Feel Something one. It came out on June the 21st. But I thought, I'll play this Feel Something song because it was on Love Island.
Oh, was it?
Which will have got her a lot of traction, obviously.
Well, I'm going to play something from the 1960s, unusually, and usually pick a little bit out the middle of a song. But I love the start of this song so much, I play 20 seconds right from the start.
La, 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 la.
That was boring, wasn't it?
Well, no, not as far as I'm concerned. It's the second best British band. Begin with a K, and it's not the Kooks. When I always say a band begins with a K.
The Kooks are...
What's the other band that begins with a K?
The Kinks.
The Kinks, it was.
See, I thought I liked the Kinks, but I must not.
You do like the Kinks. That's a song that you don't hear a lot. It was 1968, that one, so... The most Kinks songs you hear are from 1964 to 67. But what happened in the 60s?
Long career.
Well, that's true. What happened in the 60s? Bands burned bright for a very short time. and then disappeared. If you see or hear interviews with the Beatles that they gave round about 1963, they never talk about lasting all the way through till 1970.
Yeah, I was going to say there must be songs I know by the Kinks, and then they do You Really Got Me, though, that one.
You Really Got Me, the Kinks, they do All Day and All of the Night. But the one that you hear most is probably Waterloo Sunset.
No, you hear You Really Got Me more than Waterloo Sunset.
Mm. Well, I think
You Really Got Me has been played 99 million times on Spotify.
Look at Waterloo
and
Sunset.
Waterloo Sunset's only been played 32 million.
Really?
It's actually the first, second, third, fourth, fifth.
Oh, really?
No, sixth least played song.
Yeah. I think it alters with time.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes, you know, the radio likes Waterloo Sunset and it's playing that all the time. And then but that one doesn't get played very much. And I thought it was a good track.
I wasn't sure. I'm not convinced. Maybe I need to listen to the whole thing.
No. Well, the Kinks...
But if you do want to listen to the whole songs, like me...
I was about to tell you a bit more about the Kinks.
Yeah, but that was a really good... That was a really good... Link. Yeah.
Mm. Well, do it again.
No, it's fine.
No, I can edit it.
I mean, no, just you
no,
say your
so
thing.
Proud
you
of
say
that
your thing. No, he's not good anymore. You say your
well,
thing.
Well, no, but I can edit it to make it good.
It's fine. Tell me more about the Kinks, please.
They're an English rock band formed in Muswell Hill in North London. And you know Muswell Hill? You've stayed in Muswell Hill, I believe.
Have I?
Yeah, it's North London. It's where our relative Karen lives.
Oh, right. I've not stayed there, but I have been there.
We've been there. 1964 by brothers Ray and Dave Davis. They were both brothers. They fought a lot. They're a bit like the Gallaghers in that they, except more physical than the Gallaghers, they actually had stand-up fist fights.
That's so rock and roll.
Yeah, whereas the Gallaghers are more sarcasm and insult.
It is sad about the Gallaghers, though.
Well, I don't know. It's part of the appeal, isn't it, of Oasis?
Yeah, but it would be nice if they would get that together.
Anyway, they're regarded as one of the most influential rock bands in the 1960s. The band emerged during the height of British rhythm and blues and Merseybeat. But Sir Raymond Douglas Davis, Ray Davis, born 1944, is often referred to as the godfather of Britpop. People say without the Kinks, there'd be no Blur.
Well, it does sound just like Oasis.
There'd be no Blur, no Pulp, none of those Britpop bands. And then people say that without the Beatles, there would be no Kinks, and therefore no Britpop. And the reason I'm saying that is this film yesterday, the guy wakes up and the Beatles have never existed. Nobody's ever heard of the Beatles.
Have you seen this film yet?
No, I've seen the trailer about 18 times.
Yeah, because you talk about it as if you've seen it.
Well, I talk about it because it's an interesting concept. It's like a high concept movie. It's one of those things that they could write it down in one sentence on the back of a postcard.
Back of a napkin.
And you'd still think, wow.
That's
a good idea. There's been numerous articles in the newspapers speculating what, in fact, the world would be like if the Beatles had never existed. And what they say is if the Beatles hadn't existed, A&R men around the country with different record companies wouldn't have gone up and down saying, well, let's find a band from Manchester and find the Hollies and all that. Let's find more bands from Liverpool. Let's find a band from London. And therefore you get the Kinks.
Yeah.
And because of the influence of the Kinks and Ray Davis, who was such a great songwriter, you get Blur and Pulp and
any of those,
in fact the Streets is a very good example of
because they're like from
the Kinks.
And if you do want to listen to the whole of the songs, you can go over to the Spotify and type in either Ruthie, Me and My Dad or just Martin and Ruth, and you can listen to those songs in full and then all the others.
I want to talk a little bit about woke capitalism.
No, I don't.
Don't you want to talk about work capitalism?
Do you want to talk about, or I want to talk about, and I'm like, no, all right, thanks.
Well,
no,
I know you.
I do.
You want to go home and go to the shops with your friends, but if we're talking...
I'm a professional, and I'm always on top game when I'm here.
Good. The particular brand of woke capitalism I want to talk about is in the States. There's a company called Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A.
I know what Chick-fil-A is.
Oh, you've heard of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. And just from people to speak about it on Instagrams and stuff.
Well, I actually went to Chick-fil-A when I was in...
Isn't that how you say it? I never really knew.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, I was calling it.
It's Chick-fil-A. Dash fill, F-I-L, A. When I was in Georgia on a press trip, the PR person from the press trip, her husband worked in Chick-fil-A, and she suggested I stop on the way back and have a cup of coffee on Chick-fil-A when I was driving back to Atlanta. And I thought it was, you know, your standard fast food place that all these American places are. But I didn't realise they were the work of the devil, according to...
I didn't know they were the work of the devil.
Well, apparently they are the work of the
devil. Just took a real turn, your story.
According to woke capitalists, what's happened is...
Can you have a woke capitalist?
A woke capitalist.
Is that not an oxymoron?
No, I don't think it is, because... good use of oxymoron, but I don't think it is, because if you try and sort of mediate your capitalism a bit and be a bit more woke about it...
Right.
I suppose it'd be like a green capitalism or that sort of thing. So if you open a company and then you make sure that all your drivers have electric cars, that would be an example of woke capitalism. But Chick-fil-A, it has a history of donating money to charities that oppose same-sex marriage. Its billionaire owner is a very devout Christian and supports, quotes, the biblical definition of the family unit. So he's against...
Anything that starts with the biblical definition.
Yeah, precisely. So he's against LGBTQ and he's against...
Well, just people living together and not being married.
All that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. However, in the space of 2 weeks, and this is a big popular brand in the States, but in the space of 2 weeks, the fast food restaurant has been banned from opening branches at two airports. Hungry travellers heading through Buffalo Niagara Airport in upstate New York or San Antonio International Airport in Texas will not be able to buy Chick-fil-A. Not that they'll be short of fast food outlets and other places to get low-quality chicken, but they won't be able to get Chick-fil-A because, as an example of woke capitalism here, or as some people in America call it, a liberal witch hunt in culturally riven America. Because America, we talk about us being a divided society, but the abortion debate and all those things.
Oh yeah, God, we're massively liberal compared to the Americans.
And also massively not split. America is basically, you know, at least two nations.
And also because, like, some people be like, oh, I'm not sure I really agree with abortion in the UK, but not to the extent of I want a law against it. A lot of people, I think the best thing to be is just like, oh, I don't really agree with abortion, but I'm not going to demonstrate about it. I don't really care if other people do it.
Mm. That's the great thing about us Brits.
We don't care enough.
Last month, San Antonio City Council voted to prevent Chick-fil-A, America's third biggest fast food chain, from opening at its airport over the company's, quotes, legacy of anti-LGBT behaviour. The way I see this is that it's... gesture politics. It's restricting their freedom to open and people's freedom to eat Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but for good reason.
Well, I don't see it as a good reason. That you're entitled to know that the guy is a Christian and believes in the biblical family. You're allowed to know that, and therefore you can choose to get your low grade, low quality chicken from and probably not very ethically sourced chicken from elsewhere.
That would be my problem. Would be that. If we're going to, what's the word? Hijack?
Boycott.
If we're going to boycott, I think the problem is, if we're going to boycott Chick-fil-A for being anti-liberal, for being against LGBTQ, then McDonald's, as much as they say their beef is not farmed in other places, they graze cows they destroy the rainforest to graze cows. Like, if we're going to boycott that, I think it's hypocritical to not say... And also, just meat in general is terrible for the environment. Let's not pretend that those things...
It's murder, according to Morrison.
Just don't say, oh, I'm super liberal, I'm going to boycott Chick-fil-A like you're doing this great thing.
Now, do you feel privileged having... Well, privileged in a number of ways, but privileged having...
in many, many ways.
Having studied history for GCSE, according to...
Not particularly. I didn't really enjoy it very much. I studied the American West. Boring.
According to James Holland, who is a top historian guy, he says it's an absolute disgrace that history is not a compulsory subject at GCSE. He's a war historian. He's launching a project to give every secondary school a new book, providing a sweeping history of Britain from 1603 to 2016, a 35-chapter...
That would be a thick book.
It's a 35-chapter book to be presented to every secondary school in the country. He says, I think it's an absolute disgrace that so many people give it up as a choice between history and geography and other subjects. That's absurd. We all need to understand the past. Mr. Holland said that catastrophes such as the aftermath of the Iraq War would not have occurred if world leaders had studied history, adding they just think it's all about the now, where he says it's all about the past.
Well, yeah, it
and
is
you've
good.
Just finished doing history A-level.
Yeah.
Really good subject, I think.
You know, I did about British history. I did 1906 to 1957, and I did Russian history from 1855 to 1964. So two really, I mean, the British history was a bit boring, but two pretty interesting subjects.
Very interesting. Do you think that?
And
history...
we were talking about how it repeats itself and stuff. But the thing that he's saying about, you know, if everyone studied history, it wouldn't repeat itself. But everyone knows about the Holocaust, whether you've studied history or not. We know it's a terrible, terrible thing. But there's these Sudanese people who are being killed. There's Muslims in internment camps, and we let that go on anyway. So does it really make a difference
when
if
you
study
we let
history?
That go on? That sort of stuff is probably being perpetrated by people who don't know about the Holocaust. That, you know, that's Western European history. It's not the sort of history you would learn in Sudan.
Or like, I think it would be brilliant if we learnt from the past. I'm not sure we're capable of it. I'm not sure we're smart enough to do it.
But it's an interesting and important subject, I think.
I think
it's
it is.
An important subject. And I think...
I agree with him. And I would love to live in a world where everyone learned about history and then we wouldn't make the same mistakes that we do in the past. But also the people who are leaders, even if we do make them, it would be great to know about it.
Yeah.
But people who are the leaders of countries, and even let's think, you know, much smaller than stuff like the Holocaust, you look at just British politics of like Irish Home Rule and Sinn Féin and Lloyd George opening up the Irish Civil War and all that kind of stuff. If you look at what we're doing now with the backstop stuff, if that's not opening up violence in Ireland, then you've clearly not ever read a history book. I think I'm becoming more and more pessimistic that we don't learn from the past ever.
No, you might be right. Who are you supporting in the election to... I mean, I know you're not a member of the Conservative Party, so you don't
get
a vote.
So I don't get anyone,
You don't get a vote. Who do you least want to be stuck with?
Who do I least... I least want to be stuck with Boris. That from the stuff I've read, it sounds like he's a bit of a liability.
Well, you could... That's one way of putting it. It could be right.
But not a massive fan of Jeremy Hunt either. What are you thinking?
Well,
I don't get a vote.
I don't get a vote, but I have actually backed Jeremy Hunt
If
I hadn't backed Jeremy Hunt, I would still be opting for Jeremy Hunt because I think Boris is utterly unrealistic about Brexit. He's not come up with
What does he even want? I've still not heard him say what he wants.
Well, he's going to go in there with basically what is Theresa May's deal. But because he's Boris...
Everyone has a go at Theresa May. Yeah, that's the problem with Boris Johnson, is he thinks that he's got the Matilda syndrome thing, you know, Matilda from the Roald Dahl books.
Yes.
He thinks that he's special like Matilda, that he's got these superpowers that's going to make him be able to go in there.
Do you have a meme of the week?
I do, of course. I'll start this how I always do, saying meme, like, I think this is funny, I'm not sure you will.
No, well, you never know, do you?
No, it's impossible to know, really. There's a funnier one, but it requires, like, a little bit of singing, and I don't want to do that. Anyway.
Singing?
No, not singing, but it's just, like, it was funnier if you can see
voice.
It. It's funnier if you can, like, see it, but it doesn't matter. Just ate a slice of toast in bed and regret it so much already. Going to be rolling around in the crumbs like a chicken goujon for the night. That's funny,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, chicken goujon. Well, chicken is a funny word because it's got a K in it.
You just have a mini stroke or something?
No, chicken is...
I think if we're talking about how funny words are, goujon is much funnier
yes,
than goujon. Chicken.
No, chicken is a funny word to start with, and then goujon adds... that's a good comedy thing, that, because that piles on the extra humour. But if you ask anybody, chicken, why do you think there's all those jokes? Why did the chicken cross the road? You don't say, why did the dog cross the road, and why did the cat cross the road?
You think chicken is a funny word?
Oh, it's not what I think, it's...
it's not what I think, it's fact.
It's been proven, it is fact.
By who?
comedy writers. Comedy writers would say, oh, that's got a K in it, chicken, that's funny. Ask any comedy writers.
Oh, it's got a K.
Yeah.
I think on that note...
On that note, if you want to send us an email to comment on it, to comment on whether K is funny and whether the co-op is a good
K
shot.
K is only funny if you're saying it in a funny sense. Like you don't say... Oh, I went, my boyfriend's a bricklayer. And everyone goes, ha-ha!
Well, you say that. Anyway, if you do want to get in touch with us to comment on that or any of the other controversies, parenting or what else that we've talked about, or the kinks, see, two Ks. If you want to comment on any of that, you can email us. It's martinandruthpodcast, or one word, obviously, martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And you can find the Spotify on just Spotify and type in Martin Ruth or Ruthie Me and My Dad, and either of those will get you to the playlist.
And all the tunes are there, all the ones that you've put in, which is most of them, isn't it?
I think it's all of them.
Mm. Yes, so thank you very much indeed for listening.
See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.